from WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Friday, April 8th. Coming up, bird flu is sweeping across the country and having a big impact on the poultry industry, but it's also reaching backyard flocks. A look at how backyard flock owners are dealing with the outbreak and protecting their birds in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois Democrats say they've struck a budget deal and plan on passing it by the end of the day. Alex Degman reports.
The plan takes Governor J.B. Pritzker's proposal and adds to it. It spends more than $1.8 billion on tax cuts, a one-year suspension of the grocery tax, a six-month suspension of the gas tax increase set to kick in this July, and $300 property tax rebates, among other provisions. Don Harmon is the Senate president.
We've gone through some unique times, and together the last couple of years, it's perhaps fitting that we have a unique budget that is the result of working together like never before.
The plan also expands the earned income tax credit permanently, making those families eligible for a $50 check per individual and $100 per child up to three children. The state eliminated some persistent debt with federal COVID relief money and is showing nearly $3 billion more in revenue compared to a year ago. I'm Alex Degman.
The Champaign City Council voted unanimously Tuesday to remove the city's licensing fees for massage businesses. A report to the City Council says that city licensing requirements are unnecessary because the businesses already have to get a license from the state. Council member Daniel Iniguez said during the meeting that the city's licensing fees can cause businesses to struggle.
You don't really consider all of the fees that come with a lot of this venture, so and especially when you're doing it possibly on the side to help with revenue for your household, these things that sneak up on you tend to be things that you really don't plan for and can throw your revenue stream off.
Councilmember Vanna Pianfetti said during the meeting, people might not think about how massages are used to help with pregnancy-related care and conditions like arthritis. The Refugee Center continues to help its clients from Afghanistan to settle in Champaign-Urbana. Illinois Newsroom student journalist Luis Velasquez has more.
The Refugee Center helped more than 50 people from Kabul settle in the Champaign-Urbana area after the Taliban took over that area in August of last year. They continue to help their clients settle in their new homes in different ways, one of which includes obtaining a job at Guardian West Manufacturing. Lisa Wilson is the executive director of the Refugee Center. She says they were able to cover uniform costs with the help of the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. She says language translators also helped them overcome language barriers.
So it was important to keep the lines of communication open, that we could relay to our interpreters any messages or information that they needed to relay to the clients. Also, our interpreters also went over to the place, to the factory, when our clients first started to be able to interpret and tell them some basic information.
She says she hopes these efforts will make their clients feel like members of the community. I am Luis Velasquez, Illinois Newsroom.
Some black student leaders at the University of Illinois say they're unhappy with the school's response to Ku Klux Klan flyers that circulated around campus last week. The flyers were placed in plastic bags filled with rocks. They read, quote, "You can sleep tonight knowing the Klan is awake," end quote. University Chancellor Robert Jones sent out a mass email condemning the flyers, but Jaden Brown, a junior and member of Men of Impact, an organization that addresses the needs of black men on campus, says he wants the university to take more direct action.
I would just want them to exemplify like a real dedication to getting to the bottom of this. You know, these are literally KKK flyers on campus, and I just felt like that mass mail didn't necessarily do that.
Senior Trina Rose is president of the Central Black Student Union. She says previous university condemnation of racist acts has not been enough to prevent them from happening again. She recalls an incident not too long ago when a noose was found on campus.
Something like this, of this magnitude, is happening again. So openly, so brazenly, and it really just reflects the mentality of the students. They believe that there won't be a pushback from the university.
Rose and Brown say they want the university to investigate, implement serious punishments for the perpetrators, and reach out to black students. Still to come, a look at how the highly contagious bird flu that's spreading across the country is affecting owners of backyard flocks. That story from Harvest Public Media is coming up next on 217 Today.
Mustang, Morgan, Appaloosa, Quarter Horse, the PBS series Nature explores each of these iconic breeds in the documentary American Horses. From New England homesteads to tribal lands in the West, learn how the horse has played an integral role in our nation's history. You'll love the beautiful scenes of horses in action, frolicking in sagebrush, galloping through autumn foliage, and racing across the Pony Express Trail. Stream this and other science films as a friend of WILL. Learn how at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. A highly contagious and deadly strain of bird flu is spreading across the country. So far, more than 22 million commercial and backyard birds have died from illness or have been killed to stop the spread. As Harvest Public Media's Katie Pikus reports, most of the affected flocks are commercial, but backyard flocks are not any less susceptible.
I met turkey grower Ben Slinger in the town square of Ellsworth, Iowa. Wild birds nest between buildings here. Like most producers, Slinger's limiting visitors on his nearby farms to prevent bird flu from reaching his flocks.
It is a very concerning time. We're watching stuff extremely closely.
Slinger raises about 850,000 turkeys a year for an Iowa meat processor. The 2015 bird flu outbreak hit his family hard. He had to cull 38,000 turkeys to stop it from spreading. So Slinger and his workers are extremely careful now that bird flu is back, and especially after it reached a nearby commercial turkey flock. He's testing turkeys for the virus more frequently.
And we've been in pretty good shape. This year's definitely going to challenge us, it seems like, in the coming weeks as to if we're truly prepared again for what happened in 2015.
State officials and scientists also caution backyard flock owners to be on high alert. The virus has reached these small flocks in Missouri, Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, and Nebraska. Don Reynolds is a professor and poultry veterinarian with the University of Nebraska-Lincoln.
The backyard or small flock producers, they're not as aware of this, and so they are more susceptible.
Reynolds says some backyard bird owners may not be around their birds as much as commercial producers, looking for symptoms like a lack of energy. He says they need to be especially alert about wild birds passing through on their migration and mixing with backyard flocks.
Their house outside, that they can have exposure to these wild birds. And these wild birds can transmit the avian influenza. And so that's very, very concerning.
Reynolds says wild birds could spread the virus through drinking the same water or eating from bird feeders. Kristen Dennis of St. Louis stopped filling her bird feeders for that reason. She's had chickens since 2010 and added ducks to her flock during the coronavirus pandemic. Dennis has been closely monitoring her 16 chickens and ducks for bird flu symptoms and keeping them in their enclosure.
Because from what I can tell, it kills the birds very, very quickly and is very, very contagious, and I would just be heartbroken if they got sick.
Dennis says all of her birds have names, they have personalities, and she doesn't want to lose them. After the last big bird flu outbreak, she learned that backyard flocks made up 10% of all birds that died or had to be destroyed.
To me, that suggests that it really devastated a lot of people's home flocks, which is really makes me think twice and maybe three times about making sure to put precautions in place to keep mine safe.
In St. Charles, Missouri, Leah Schaefer is newer to backyard chickens. She has four hens.
How you doing? This is Miss Cherry. She's a little shy.
Schaefer got the chickens during the pandemic as a way to get her two kids outside. Her hens roam about a fenced area of her yard during the day.
My biggest concern has been predators, not necessarily sickness.
She says bird flu isn't a major concern for her because she has such a small flock. And she keeps an eye on them from her kitchen window.
I'm pretty confident that they're safe. And if anything changes, and I notice right away if they're sick, that's the thing. Like, if anything changes, I see them right away, and I'll get them over to a farm vet.
Schaefer says her birds have been energetic, very healthy, and they're laying eggs. But with bird flu, she says she'll think twice about adding more chickens to her flock. I'm Katie Pikus, Harvest Public Media.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see cloudy skies with rain and snow showers likely and a high of 42 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Eunice Alpazon, Luis Velasquez, Noor Longhi, and Katie Pikus. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Mulmean. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.